Hi, everyone. This is Erica Spicer Mason with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Today, we'll be talking about challenges and opportunities in women's leadership. And for this discussion, I'm thrilled to be joined by Dr. Sarika Agarwal, the Chief Medical Officer of Fast Pace Health. Dr. Agarwal, thank you so much again for being here today. Before we get started, would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Erica. So happy to be here. So I'm Sarika Agarwal. I'm the Chief Medical Officer here, as Erica mentioned, at Fast Pace Health. We are an organization that is building centers in our rural communities in the southern part of the United States in really serving a new innovative clinical model. My past life, I've had multiple leadership roles in academic and community health systems, both in the Northeast and the Eastern part of the United States, along with some payer as well as consulting leadership opportunities.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Agarwal. It sounds like you have some great experience under your belt. And regarding our topic today, you know, women in leadership, I think you're going to have a lot of fantastic insights. So I wanted to start a little bit high level and just kind of share with our listeners what the landscape is looking like. So despite progress that we're seeing in the healthcare industry in terms of representation of women in leadership roles, women still do comprise only 32% of the healthcare C-suite. So I wanted to know, in your view, what are persistent barriers here? And how are you addressing these barriers in your own leadership at your organization?
Yes, thank you, Erica. So I will say that it has been a journey that has been torturous for me with some lucky breaks, being in the right place at the right time. I think the problem that we have is historically, there has always been this gender bias, especially in the C-suite. And while that is changing, it's not changing fast enough. And part of that is, I think women themselves have always been torn in that work-life balance and have not necessarily pursued, you know, this pathway. It requires a lot of time commitment, often not just the work week, but, you know, every day, you know, all week. I think the bigger thing is there, because of lack of representation, I think there's been lack of sponsors and mentors for women. And I will say that halfway through my career, the first half of my career was really led by me. The initiatives were by me, but the second half, I did get a strong mentor who, you know, turned herself into a sponsor, and my pathway was so much smoother then. And so this is something that I endeavor to do, really, is, you know, pay it forward, is in our organization, you know, work with our people officer and the other members of the executive team to really try and bring women into our leadership. We are fortunate in that because this is a clinical organization, 85% of our workforce, both the providers and the other clinical staff, are women. We have instituted a very unique leadership structure here, where our leadership, our career advancement for our clinicians, as well as non-clinicians, is through our own internal leadership program. So we have what we call a CLP, or clinical leadership program, where we groom our clinicians and non-clinicians, a large number of them being women, into what we call regional directors and clinic directors. These are basically our operators who run the company. And it has worked very well for us, so that all our, you know, there's up to 85% of our leadership in the operations is all women.
Wow, Dr. Agarwal, thank you so much, first off, for sharing your story and kind of what your journey has looked like. I think that'll stick with me, how you described it, you know, kind of a torturous journey in some ways with, as you said it, some lucky breaks. I'm really happy that it sounds like those lucky breaks happened once you were able to find some sponsorship and more support in your career. And it's great to see now how you're kind of paying it forward with your own workplace and kind of driving forward this clinical leadership program. It's really great to hear. So thank you again for sharing that. And I think that that kind of segues nicely into what I wanted to talk about next. You know, you mentioned how 85% of the workforce at your organization are women, and we certainly see similar makeup in the nurse staffing workforce. And this workforce, the nurses are showing signs of bouncing back in terms of staffing levels. But considering that women make up the vast majority of this workforce, how do you think healthcare leaders can foster a culture of supporting women in the workplace, including nurse leaders? And do you have any examples that you could share?
Sure. So I think first of all, for the le it is important for the leadership of the organization to understand, organizations that are largely comprised of women, and that how is the culture different? The culture, as I mentioned, one of the big barriers is work-life balance, and so it's important for the leadership to understand that. And we've strongly advocated that here at FastPace. And one of the big things we've done is address exactly that work-life balance. And I think it is something that we have to address, for the future, really building the workflow and the work schedules in that flexible space. And so, for example, what we've done is we've done sort of three things. A lot of our full-time providers, we've really not only just allow, but we've encourage them to become BRN. So we've also created this work schedule where it's 4 days alternating with 3 days, and that allows, it's almost like a job share. One week they do four, another week they do three, and they do this together, and that certainly helps them, I think, with that, with that work-life piece. And of course, every organization, clinical or otherwise, has to think about. We don't think about telecommuting as much because our work is patients, but we do have a telehealth service, which again, we've encouraged a lot of providers to train for it. And so the last piece is really the talent pipeline. We've really spent a lot of time in working with our talent team and our people team. In really encouraging those candidates for the positions who are thinking part-time or who are thinking, they really need flexible hours, understanding how we train and how we build our schedules. And this I think has helped us because a lot of our what we call boomerang employees that may have had to leave because of, whatever personal commitments, do come back to us, and we encourage that. We actually continue to communicate with them so that whenever that, life event happened, that they can come back and work for us in whatever capacity that they choose to. So it's a continuous effort, but I think that, we've made a great indent into this, and I think this has definitely helped us in the talent that we get because our clinics, as I mentioned, are in the rural communities, and it is difficult to find talent and licensed clinicians in these areas.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing how you're approaching this at fast pace. It sounds like you're doing a mix of addressing some short-term needs like flexibility, especially for women who may have families or other caregiving commitments that they need to balance alongside work, but then building the talent pipeline for a long-term strengthened workforce. So that sounds like a really all-encompassing approach. And I really, I've enjoyed so much of what you've shared with us today, Dr. Agarwal. And before we close our discussion, I wanted for any listeners who may be looking for resources, tools, or best practices to grow in their leadership, especially women, what's one piece of advice that you'd encourage them to act on today?
So first of all, I would say that, the sort of in one sentence, look for opportunities to showcase your competency, your leadership, build a strong network, look for mentor sponsors, and continuously learn. It's really important. I like to think about it as building muscles. You need to continuously be learning, not just to keep up with your side of the profession, but what's around you. And then the one important thing that I think has helped me really significantly in my career is get an official resume writer. I know this sounds very basic, but we just don't know how to write good resumes that showcase our talent and that are outcome-based, as I like to call it. And it's worth the money and effort to find an excellent resume writer, which you could get on LinkedIn. It makes wealth of a difference in as you're looking for those new opportunities.
That is a fantastic piece of advice, one that I haven't heard from leaders before. But you know, as you were saying, the resume writer recommendation, I'm thinking, yeah, I think especially women do tend to we tend to undersell ourselves and our skill sets. So having an objective person look at everything that we've done and really coalesce that into a really strong resume, fantastic piece of advice. Thank you so much again, Dr. Agarwal.
Thank you for having me.
We've really appreciated having you on the podcast, and we'd also like to thank our sponsor for today's episode, Fast Pace Health. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.